Your Bibles, please, for our Old Testament reading, and we'll turn to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruamah. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up the way with thorns, and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her the corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, These are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, where she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her, or unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that have not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of His home, of His most holy word. How many hours will you give me to unpack this chapter? So we have the chapter divided essentially, into three sections. I have 1 through 5, then 6 through 13, and then 14 through the end. In 1 through 5, moving quickly, we have the statement of the charge against the northern kingdom, Israel. They had committed idolatry. Remember that in the days of Ahab, Baal worship had been introduced through Jezebel, and then Athaliah, and then the unholy alliance that had been formed between the northern and southern kingdom brought that same Baal worship through Athaliah into the southern kingdom. We're talking mostly about the northern kingdom, however, here in Hosea. Hosea says, "You have played the harlot. You have gone after others. And so here's what I have to say to you. Say to your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruamah, plead with your mother." The mother there is the errant church of the Old Testament in the northern kingdom. "Plead with your mother." Samuel Rutherford will use that very phrase in his work, "A Peaceable Plea for St. Paul's Presbytery in Scotland," when there were many loose spirits in his day that separated themselves from the church unnecessarily. Rutherford will say, "Don't separate from your mother, plead with your mother." And he'll be quoting from Hosea chapter 2. Same thing is happening here. Notice the prophet is told, "Plead with your mother, plead with her." When that church errs, you plead with her. You don't pick up your cookies and go home, as it were, right? And so notice, "Plead with her, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband." And of course, the Lord is speaking about her de facto behavior, because she has played the husband with every other false god rather than Him. And so should the Lord respond to her actions in justice, then it would be what He said in the former chapter. "Lo Ami, Lo Ruamah, Jezreel." You remember what those three mean? Jezreel, scattering. "Lo Ami, you're not my people. Lo Ruamah, no mercy for you." If the Lord deals in justice. And so notice how He comes back to those names a couple of times in this chapter. All right, so then, "I will strip her naked, I will set her as in the day she was born, and make her as a wilderness, set her like a dry land." And so we have those threatenings of a full and final apostasy that the Lord will cast off. Can the Lord do that? Over and again, the Lord has said in His Word, has He not? "Can a woman forget her sucking child? Can I forget those of you to whom I've made promises?" In Jeremiah 31, He'll say, "I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with cords of loving kindness, I've drawn you to me." And so the answer is, well, there may be pox in the visible church that the Lord will not draw to Himself. Hypocrites, reprobates. But as far as the church herself, considered as the object of God's love, "The Lord hath not cast off them whom He foreknew," is how the Apostle Paul will say it in Romans chapter 9. And so in verse 6 then, the Lord begins the movement of bringing her back to Himself. And notice it is through deep chastisements. Through deep chastisements. "I'll hedge up her way with thorns." Right? "I will make a wall. She'll not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. She won't have anyone to call upon. I'm going to hedge her way up. I'm going to bring her through a deep valley of chastisement and thorns and pain." But then what will she say after that time of chastisement? "I will return to my first husband." So the first step then is the recognition of repentance, that we turn, like the Apostle Paul will say to the Thessalonian church, "You know how we knew that you were genuine, because you turned from idols to serve the living God. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, if it says church on the door. It doesn't matter if there's a Bible open in the pulpit. We'd prefer that. If everything about the church is following after other gods, it doesn't matter. Notice what the Lord says in this first section. She, this is not my wife. And so what will the Lord say? I'll hedge your way up. I'll make it impossible for you to follow after those other gods. I'll make it impossible. Therefore, I will return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in its season, and my flax. And I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers. That is, I will make her ashamed of her idolatry. This is the way of repentance for that northern kingdom. Remember what the Lord is about to do. The end of the ministry of Hosea ends when? In 722 B.C., when Sennacherib comes and lays Samaria waste. The Lord is going to strip the northern kingdom of every prop, of every stay, of every earthly refuge, so that the believers left in the northern kingdom will do what? If they escape the Assyrians, they will head to the southern kingdom where God is worshipped in truth. That's what they'll do. And we see that even in the days of Josiah, many came. In the days of Hezekiah, many came to partake once again of the Passover before the Lord God of their fathers and turned away from those Baalim. I will destroy her vines, verse 12, and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit her upon the days of Baalim, where she burned incense to them and she decked herself with her jewels. And so on. There will be a visitation. But for the people of God, this visitation will be for their salvation. I'll speak to you personally as an observer of our current estate. The church in America is so very corrupt that she is like that northern kingdom of old. She has gone after her lovers. And there is indeed a day of reckoning that will come, and the Lord will strip her of all her gold and her jewels and all of those things. And the Lord will indeed shut up her way with thorns, because there's some grapes left in the cluster, and the Lord will pursue for their sake. How can we escape such things? All right, so now we come to verse 14. Finally then, after all of this chastising work has been done, after all of this hardship, after all of this pain, after all of the thorns and the deprivation, and finally being brought down to the shame of it all, then the Lord says, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. And the word comfortably there, that's also used in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40. Right? It's called the Book of Comfort. Remember that? What is the literal Hebrew there? I will speak to her heart. I will speak to her heart. The Lord will, and He's the only one that can, He will give her a new heart. I'll speak to her heart. And it'll be made new. And listen to what it says. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, in the valley of Achor, for a door of hope. Whereas Achor before, that was the place that Achan and his kind were judged. Now it'll be a door of hope. Why? Because there's repentance. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, my husband. And thou shalt call me no more Baali, my master. So notice how intimate with what level of intimacy the Lord is drawing in His wayward people. I will take the names of the Baalim out of her mouth. They shall no more be remembered. I'll even cause the earth to support your efforts at repentance and calling upon me. I'll take away the creeping things and the fowls and all those things that make that make you perilous in your existence, and you will lie down safely. And then notice, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment. Not like before, but in righteousness and in judgment. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the gospel is a release from righteousness. The apostle will say what? It is by the gospel that we establish the law. Jesus Christ came to magnify the law and make it honorable. It is in righteousness that God will betroth His people to Himself. Now watch what he says. And I will even betroth thee unto me in how many terms? Five terms. In righteousness, in judgment, in chesed, in loving kindness, in rahamim, in mercies, and then number five, in amunah, in truth and faithfulness. And then what does he say? How does he put the capstone on that? And thou shalt know the Lord, like Adam knew his wife Eve, in that way. That's verse 20. Now notice what he does. He's going to return to the names. It shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil. And they shall hear. What will they hear? Jezreel. What did Jezreel mean before? Remember? Scattering. Now the Lord's going to take that and He's going to modify it. He's going to say, it's still scattering, but now it is the scattering of seed. It is the scattering of seed, and it's to be scattered throughout the earth, the Lord says. Right? This gospel seed, this scattering is going to be a scattering throughout the world. My people are going to be found everywhere. And what will they be called? I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy, ruhamah, where before I said, lo, or no, ruhamah. Now there will be ruhamah. And then, and to them which were not my people, lo ami, it will be said to them, they are the people of the living God. Thou art my people, shall say, and they shall say, Thou art my God. It would be difficult, I think, anywhere in the Scripture, and this is why I asked you for hours to expound this passage. It would be difficult anywhere in the Scripture to show a greater, concise context in one chapter of the greatness of the mercy of God. This is one of those chapters that it separates itself from what in that it teaches in such copious detail and prophetic speech the great mercy of God and the everlasting love that He has for His people, such that He will chastise them and He will hedge up their way and He will draw them to Himself even after their great apostasy and unfaithfulness to Himself. So, Hosea chapter 2.